The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County. It is May 18th, Sunday morning. This is Kevin Cry. This is my show. My show meaning all mine, no sponsors, paid for, sponsored by, all me. These are my opinions and those only of mine. How's that for a disclaimer? David, is that pretty good? Did I get that across? Okay, he's giving me the thumbs up.
Perfect.
Perfect. Thank you, David. He's wearing a cowboy hat, I think, still in recognition of rodeo week. So when you're giving my son guitar lessons, don't you be wearing that cowboy hat over the house. I want to keep this whole AC/DC Metallica kind of thing going with the backwards hat. You know, I want my son to grow his hair out long in the back. We're going to get the sides shaved really close like a Brian Bosworth mullet. And we're going to return to the 80s in my house.
Nice.
Yes. Anyway, always in studio with me. I'm always super thankful when I see David walk in. Such a great producer and just truly just a brilliant performer and a great, great human being. We're lucky to have him here at KCNR running that, but then also with his awesome business, Cascade Curations. If you haven't been over there to his shop downtown, I would recommend you go. My son had a guitar lesson there the other day and got to play, I don't know, how many, like 8 or 10 different guitars? A little bit, yeah. And then got to play the drums for the first time. So he asked me if he can say that he's playing three instruments now. I said, well, you can play the keyboard and the guitar, but having one, like, half-hour drum solo lesson, I wouldn't say that's a third instrument yet. So we kind of laughed about that. So anyway, the forecast for the week, always brought to you by Weather NorCal. Again, that's not a paid sponsor. That's just a good friend of mine, Mike Kruger. And you could download his app in the Play Store or on the Apple Store. And this week it's going to be hot. We're actually getting into the low 90s, actually the mid-90s, midweek. It's going to reach a high of 94 on Wednesday. And then next weekend's Memorial Day weekend, so this is going to be probably a really fast week for many of you as you're preparing for the weekend. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the rodeos, it seems like, to my knowledge, there weren't any major injuries, so that's always a good thing. And then no animals jumped the barricade this year, although I do miss all the funny memes that came from that when the bull did jump a couple years ago. So with that, I have a very special guest with me in station this morning, a person that has never been on the radio with me, actually never been on the radio at all, and it is my lovely wife of over 25 years, and I'll be 26 years, Sarah. So good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
So we were my mom actually texted me and asked what my show was going to be about today. And I said, oh, no, my show's next week. And then I asked my wife, and she said, no, I think the last one you did, you were out of town for basketball, and that wasn't last week. That was Medford. So I was like, oh, my gosh, you're right. So I called David and said, hey, David, I forgot I have a show tomorrow. And so I'd actually been working on it earlier in the week, but thinking for some reason I had a couple weeks yet to go. And so I asked Sarah, I said, hey, how about coming on my show with me today and just maybe today's the day? And she said yes. So welcome.
Thank you.
What? So this is a very like impromptu. Obviously, we haven't scripted this. We haven't really talked about it. I've never been able to really, and I've always tried to shield you and the kids as best I can in politics. But I think there's just a lot of questions a lot of people would probably have. But let's just start with this. What do you think about the last 4 years? Not of just our life, but just the country and the world.
Since COVID, basically, when I would go back to. I would say before that, there's before COVID and after COVID. Before COVID, I was just living my life, raising our kids, working, coaching, just busy. And probably didn't pay much attention to politics. I know, like, in 16, I didn't even vote for the president. Not that I didn't know who I was going to vote for. I didn't know where a polling place was, and I was just lazy about it. And then
really, I don't think I knew.
Yeah, that. I didn't know where our polling place was, and I didn't take the time to look it up. I mean, I was just
apathetic.
Apathetic, yeah, 100%. I mean, I had an opinion. I did watch some of the debates. I thought, you know, I've been conservative most of my life, but is that because of me or because of my parents? And I thought, I'll watch Hillary's, the convention, the Democratic convention. And I thought, yeah, I'm definitely not a Democrat. I remember some of their platform. It definitely didn't align with myself. So I thought, okay, I'll vote for Trump. Didn't pay too much attention because, again, we're busy raising the kids.
I think, now that you mentioned that, I think I remember that because Kyle and I went to the Kings game that night.
Yeah.
And I remember.
And I said,
yes.
I don't know where my thing is. And
yeah, yeah, I remember. Now I remember that. Okay, I'm sorry. So go ahead. So yeah. The 16 was.
So anyway, fast forward, COVID, and I remember our district had said, hey, just prepare the kids in case we don't come back.
Your school district.
My school district, yeah. I'm a teacher. Prepare and just let the kids know, hey, if we don't come back this next week, give them some assignments or let them know, hey, here's how you access your assignments. And I thought, there's no way we wouldn't have school the next week. And sure enough, I think it was the tournament, the basketball tournament, the big NCAA or
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
They canceled that.
Yeah,
that was kind of a big wow. No way. And so anyway, it had been canceled. School was canceled. You and I, your business.
Well, remember, I had all the ninjas coming in.
Yeah, they were coming in. You had a ton of things coming up, live events, things like that.
Scheduled.
Yeah, and so we were at home obviously quite a bit, and we would watch the Trump would update us, and then we would watch the news after that. Be like, wait a minute, that's not what he said at all. It would be completely different than what he said. And so I think during COVID, some of the things that they said we should do or shouldn't do kind of opened my eyes because it didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, yeah. Well, and I've told people, we got in two fights during COVID. One of them was I didn't want to wear a mask at Costco.
Yeah.
And then I wish you could have seen her face just then. She just snapped back into that portal of time and remembers that. And then the other one was I was upset because you were watching like 16 hours of Fox News every day.
I think you over-exaggerate that, first of all.
Well, now I say 16 hours. It used to be like 8 hours.
But I will say, I've always been a rule follower. So the mask, I was like, yeah, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to upset anybody. So I was like, what's the big, you know, going in Costco, wearing a mask, whatever. But then it was like, okay, kids have to wear it all day at school. That felt rough. Like, remember our son would come home and have rashes on his face.
Yeah.
That was a little bit extreme.
We really flipped at that point. Meaning like you were much, much more leading the family in terms of, watching the news, seeing what's going on. And for me, like I just said, hey, I'm going to get the vaccine if they make me get it to fly. And there's no way I'm taking a bus or a train or driving to New York or Florida or Philadelphia where I was having events back then. And then you said, like, absolutely not. And that was one of our first real conversations about, you know, what we were being told on the news and the safety and efficacy and all that kind of stuff. And because you had a stroke at 33, which I've talked about before, so that's not like I'm sharing anything new. Well, but the reality is, you know, you really researched a lot about your autoimmune and what the...
I think for me, if you remember, I got really sick. We went to Disneyland. I got really sick February. Right before all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like really sick. I missed, I think, maybe a full week of work. And yeah. I went down to the ER twice.
Yeah.
And they just said it's a virus, but I'd never felt
that.
And
you would ask. You said, "Is this COVID
yes,
thing they're talking about?" And they said, "No."
Yeah, no. And so I was convinced that I had had it. And so when the vaccines rolled out, I thought, "Why would I get a vaccine for something I already got?" That didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And you being completely healthy, it's a brand new. Why would you get it? It didn't make sense to me either, especially if you were around me having had it.
Yeah. Well, I remember because Cooper, that's our nephew. For people that don't know. You know, when we went to Disneyland, he was hacking, before the trip And then we went to, I remember because the way the, you know, I did a speaking thing down there, and we were down there for like, we were there 8 days, and you went like 2 or 3 days of the 8. I remember that.
Yeah, I was stuck in a hotel. Did a video doctor call or whatever.
Telemedicine.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Let me ask you this, because this is really, you know, we haven't talked about this really in forever. So at what point, Roy, my father-in-law, your dad, was diagnosed with cancer. Do you remember when we found out that he had, because someone asked about the timeline.
I think it was late January, maybe of 21.
It
was 21, because remember he passed away in 21, September of 21.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but when was he diagnosed?
Yeah, because remember it was a quick, because he was diagnosed with glioblastoma. It's a brain tumor, fast moving.
Okay.
Not a long.
That's right. Because one of the positive things about COVID in terms of just the timing was our kids spent a ton of time with the grandparents and stuff just so they could get out of the house a little bit. And then we had decided, because the signature gathering for the Newsom recall was moving forward. Let's talk about briefly when they started talking about vaccines for teachers and kids to go back to school. Do you remember that very well?
Yeah. I mean, I knew it didn't seem like, at least our district for sure, or just around, I didn't hear a lot about mandates for teachers. But what I did hear, remember later, was for students, just like the what you need now to go to school. It was going to become a requirement to actually go to school. And I was adamantly against that, and I think a lot of people were, which is why so many people showed up to that school walkout. Yeah. And I think that's where you met Patrick.
Well, no. But the I didn't even know who Patrick was until I, you know, till that day.
Well, you know what's embarrassing is I really didn't know who Gavin Newsom was, honestly, before all of this. I mean, I'm sure I'd heard his name. But why would I have? I wouldn't have really paid attention much.
Yeah, well, I remember John Kasich. For some reason, I really liked him in 16. And then, of course, I always liked Trump because I always liked, I mean, The Apprentice was like my favorite show, obviously. And then when Cannon got to meet, Matt Eisman, who won The Apprentice the year that Trump didn't do it, and it was Schwarzenegger, like it was just, anyway, the thing for me with Newsom and that whole recall and that whole time frame, because remember, I was really like adamant, like getting us out of the state, like we were out of here. So explain to people, because I know, you know, you don't attend many events.
No, I think some people think I'm made up because I don't. I'm a little bit more of an introvert than Kevin is.
Well, you're Norwegian.
Yeah, I'm Norwegian, but I think I'm just born this way.
But when people ask, they said, well, what was it like? You know, what did Sarah say? Well, people that don't know you, we were literally like moving to Tennessee. Like we got off that plane, drove home, went to the school walkout the next day, and then a very short time I was running. So, I mean, share with, if you can even remember, share
with
people.
Yeah, of course I remember.
Well, no, but I just meant like, you know, we don't, one of the things that's really, you know, politics can be so consuming, but we really try and leave a lot of that stuff out. Cause I mean, we're still raising kids. You're still teaching and coaching. By the way, congratulations. You had a bunch of jumpers and people move on to the section meet.
Thank you.
At Foothill. Mm-hmm. And, I think people just assume that all we talk about probably is politics and stuff like that. And we really don't.
No.
You know.
We try not to. I think. Well, I mean, not that we don't talk about it, but it can't be consuming. What I think what helps with us is that we were never part of the inner circles of politics, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Or like, I'm not a cool kid. I don't hang out. I mean.
Yeah. No, I know.
You know, I go to work. I raise the kids. And
well, you say that you – I raise the kids.
I know.
But the – when I told you I was going to run, and I don't even remember us having a conversation about it. I just remember kind of coming home and saying, I'm going to run. And you said like, and you thought I was going to go run, like jog.
Yeah, I don't think I thought you were going to run jog. I thought it was, you're considering it, but you know, sometimes you verbally process.
That's how you work
through things.
Yeah.
And so I don't really react strongly when we're first talking about something. And then I think, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, somebody needs to do it. And I was kind of like, well, I'd rather it not be him, because obviously it's going to affect our whole family. But
I don't think we could have imagined it.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think we understood. But yeah, I just know it was a big turnaround, moving to Tennessee next week, running for office.
Well, it was a couple weeks.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember the time frame, but I do remember seeing you speak.
No, I remember just because I went to the school walkout, then went to the board meeting the next day.
Oh, okay.
And just for a few days, I was like in this fog, like for like the first time, like I was blind, but now I see. Like I went and I said, oh my gosh, this is my local representation. Half of them are wearing masks.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, to each their own, but it was just kind of like, by that time in 2021, it was well past. I mean, this is late 2021. It was well past people knowing that the masks don't work. That was already substantiated. Like people already knew that.
Yeah.
And
I think at that time, weren't the plexiglass, was that still up?
That was all gone.
Okay.
That was all gone. Okay. I mean, but the point was, it's just, I was in the fog for a few days, and then like, you know, as it pushed closer to that second week before that next board meeting, I'm like, I got to do something. Like, this isn't good. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know. But you were
going to articulate just about the, you said someone's got to run or someone's got to do it. I prefer it not to be
of
you.
Course.
And we didn't know what to expect.
No, we didn't know what to expect. I don't think I understood the pushback you would receive for once you won. Or even before you won, to be honest with you, when you first started running, some of the attacks that you received, personal attacks, some of the lies that are told, some of the things maybe that are true, but it's like, what does that have to do with him serving in office? I understood.
Things that are true. I mean, to clarify that.
Yes, we had a bankruptcy, but how many years ago was it?
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Some of the stuff, I know what you take offense to is when people – you know, say I'm sexist or I'm a misogynist.
Yeah, that really bothers me. People say his wife must be pushed around, or it makes me laugh a little, but it also makes me sad.
Understand.
They don't know me.
Well, they don't know you.
What's funny about it, you have two daughters. You surround yourself with female. That's who you work with.
All my leaders are female.
Yeah, and I think people assume when you have a strong person, like you are a strong personality and you're very direct, but that is not, it's not condescending.
I can be condescending.
You can be condescending.
Yeah,
100, and I call you out for it when it happens.
And you do.
But that's the point, is just because you're strong doesn't mean I'm weak. I think that's far from it. And just because I'm not an outspoken, out there loud person does not make me weak or either. So,
or it doesn't mean you don't have opinions.
100%. I have strong opinions. So.
Well, no. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good.
No, I was just going to say.
There you go, interrupting me again.
I think the reality is, I don't know. I think, like you said, there's pre-COVID and there's post-COVID. And I think the world has changed so much now that, like, the name calling and the branding and the labeling, you know, and I don't know how to turn that around. Like I really don't. Like I do, and I fall super short of the expectations you have for me. I fall super short of the expectations I have for myself. And I know unequivocally that I totally, totally let down the Lord when it comes to, you know, things. Sometimes I know I need to bite my lip and I don't. And I get super frustrated, at, you know, the comments of some people, or even, you know, as much as, cause you know, how many things do I miss? I mean, I miss a ton in terms of family events, or like, you know, coffee on Fridays. Like I could be volunteering at the kids' school. There's a lot of other things I could do because I want to be available to people. And I know that, especially the, like, going back to 21, 22, and a good part of 23 when I was doing all the stuff at Mercy Canyon and the homeless camps. I mean, that was every Saturday. So flag football, volleyball, like all that type of stuff I missed because I entrenched myself with, Monique, Jerry, Skippy, Mark Mazzano was out there a lot. And that came at a great sacrifice. And you, you know, you supported that. And I don't think people realize sometimes how much a spouse is impacted by their spouse being in politics. I mean, do you want to talk at all about any of that?
How much I'm impacted?
Well, how much you're impacted about, yeah, I mean.
Obviously, I'm impacted. I don't think the time away impacts me so much. I think you've kind of always been busy, and I definitely am not somebody who needs to, we don't need to be around each other all the time. Not that we love being around each other,
sure.
But it's just, yeah, it's, I don't think it's that. I think, like you said before, the personal attacks of things online, sometimes the things said in meetings.
Sometimes you laugh though.
I do. I mean, you have to at some point. Sometimes it feels like a sitcom. What's that show? Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
Started watching Parks and Rec after you ran for office, and I remember telling you, Kevin, this is, some of it's the same. You know, but some of it, obviously, they take it pretty far. And I see it on both sides sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll agree with someone's opinion, but I'm like, you don't need to say it that way.
Yeah. Well, some of the people that come up there and constantly talk.
But listen, can I just interrupt real quick?
I'm
not in that room. I mean, when I sometimes watch at home, or, you know, I don't get to watch a lot because they're during the day when I'm at work, but when I do watch or watch it back sometimes, it's hard to watch. I mean, I can feel my heart race. I can feel that. And I'm not even in the room having the comments from the back. I don't hear those. I hear people who come up mention them.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine what's that like.
Yeah, until Mountaintop Media start actually filming the room and showing people. And, you know, and that's one of the things that I think if people really, really knew and if they really paid attention of what these meetings are like. Because, you know, I've had constituents that have come, like, to a single meeting and have said, I'll never go again. I'll never go. They said, what a waste of time. With a lot of the public commenters. I mean, some of these people talk 5, 6, 7 times. And, you know, this sounds horrible, but, you know, you look at their life and all the things that they say and the claims they make and all the anger and vitriol, it's like, so I would love to ask these people, what have you accomplished?
I disagree a little bit. I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think...
Well, that's how I feel, though.
I understand that. But I don't have to sit there and listen to it. But I think it doesn't matter. You can be as accomplished or not accomplished or have done terrible things in your life. When you get up to speak, let's say something with some substance and, like, are you trying to offer solutions? Or even if you're criticizing, that's fine. But when you turn it into personal attacks or you start using words like I don't want to put anybody down, but it's
I agree, and that's but that's the thing. When I said, a lot of the people don't bring solutions.
Yeah, I think maybe they're not understanding, they're missing the whole point. So if you're really wanting you to make changes or decisions that are different, attacking you is not how you do it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to say, you know what? Thank you for calling me this name. You're right. I'm going to change my mind on that. I've never seen that before. So,
well, what I've really watched how people come up and attack Supervisor Harmon. And here's a guy that has, you know, multiple companies, massive companies. They do a lot of stuff all over the place. You know, if you ask Sheriff Johnson about, you know, Corky Harmon, Sheriff Johnson lights up. You know, as if he's talking about his brother.
I've never met anyone who had anything negative to say about him.
Yeah, and he's a nice guy. And I think he's getting very, very quickly a baptism by fire of the vitriol that, you know, because when he, I mean, I didn't know him at all. And then I had him on my radio show. I think that was the very first time I ever met him, was when I had him and Wynn Carpenter, who ran against, at the time, Supervisor Rickert. And, you know, and the way I actually found out he was, running for office was I got his name from another constituent that, has said that, you know, he's run these big poker fundraisers for Foothill High School. And I was calling him to see if I was, could maybe use, I guess he had a venue. And now I know it's his ranch, but, I was going to see if, like, what the cost was to use his venue and then also, what, you know, if maybe he would donate to my campaign And he said, well, actually, I'm going to run. I said, oh, wow. I said, well, then I'll call you back when it's time. So anyway, that's a completely off topic kind
of
thing.
That's one of Kevin's rambles.
Yeah, it's a squirrel. That's okay. But I just like, you know, I just see somebody who didn't need to be in politics at all. And, you know, he had run before and he just wanted to help. He wanted to give back.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I get angry for him and any of the supervisors when they're getting up there and people are just, you know, saying whatever. So we have another minute and a half before our first break. Let me ask you the kids, because after the break, I want to talk a little bit about maybe conversations you've had with the kids about me being in politics and what they've said, maybe that you've never shared with me before. So, I would love to ask you those questions. And I'd also like to ask you, you know, talk a little bit maybe about the difference of kids, after COVID versus before COVID. And if you see it, if it's all kind of fleshed out and if it's all kind of, you know, back to normal, or are kids different now, you know, from the learning loss gaps that they had? Because the kids that you're having maybe as freshmen and sophomores now, I mean, they lost, you know, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade-ish, or maybe like sixth and seventh and part of eighth grade maybe. So I'd be curious to know if there's a difference, because we haven't talked about that. So after the break, we'll be right back with my lovely wife, Sarah, and we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
A cancer diagnosis is overwhelming, but at Valor Oncology, you're never alone. I'm Dr. Lauren Strickland, and I'm proud to be a part of this community right here in Reading. As a breast oncology surgeon, I bring the expertise you need combined with deep commitment to the people I care about, my neighbors, my friends, and my community. You won't see a revolving door of different doctors. At Valor Oncology, you'll see the same trusted care team at every visit, people who truly know your history and who will walk with you on your journey. We have cutting-edge technology that rivals top universities, and we're here to provide world-class treatment right here at home. Because at Valor Oncology, you're not just a patient, you're part of our family. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted in ready, focused on you. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org today to learn more.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
My people love this country and we're under attack. They banning us, they canned us for speaking the facts. If you man enough, come stand with us, take USA back. And every time we pull up, all you're gonna see is American flags. American flags.
American flags. Absolutely, they should be everywhere all the time. So this is Kevin Cry, this is my show, we are back. The second half of the show, actually the first half of the show, we have my wife Sarah in studio, and she's here still. She didn't leave during the break. And before the break, we talked a little bit about, you know, maybe some conversations that you and the kids have had about me being in politics that maybe I'm not aware of. And then also I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, kids, with you being a teacher at Foothill High School, the difference of maybe kids pre-COVID versus post-COVID and if they're kind of caught up. But let's start with the kids and me being in politics and how you think it's affected them, or any conversations you guys have had that I'm not aware of that you want to share with a bunch of people at one time.
I, as far as negatively affected them, I don't really, it has, it definitely hasn't. I mean, you're busy. It's kind of removed from them. they've had friends say, isn't your dad famous, or things like that. One time Canna did have a kid at church camp say, isn't your dad Kevin Cry? My dad doesn't like him. So yeah. You have both sides of it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and I remember Canna didn't like that. Like he didn't
so
know how
to
respond.
Son's more, he's a little more shy. He doesn't like the attention.
Yeah.
Positive or negative. He'd rather not.
Yeah.
But, I will say though, you did involve them, like when they were door knocking with you.
Yeah.
So they've been involved, but it hasn't, they don't see it on social media. They don't, you know, they don't see some of the things that happen. So it hasn't impacted them negatively.
Well, when you look at Kylie, our oldest, who's will be 22 this summer, I mean, she is more politically aware at 22 than almost any 20, you know, something year old.
Well, I think, like we said, pre-COVID, post-COVID, you know, her high school, was it her junior? I think it was the middle of her junior year, end of her junior year, and then to senior year.
Yeah.
Right? Was majorly impacted, and then going off to college for GCU. Part of the reason was because they didn't require vaccines there. So,
yeah, that's true.
And then, so going there, what's Charlie Kirk's?
Yeah, Turning Point.
Turning Point. She had tabled for them and did some things there. And she saw the difference where if you were conservative at GCU versus at Arizona State.
But even at GCU, she wound up being vice president of the pro-life club.
Yeah.
And her professor was like gaslighting her about how can you be a woman and be pro-life?
Right.
And so I told her, get home or I'm not paying for that school. So she came home. Well, I mean, I did. And then she came home, her senior year and finished online.
Well, it wasn't just that.
Remember,
she had that one professor. They said something about gender, and the professor said how offensive it is to say there are male and female.
Yeah.
And I thought, you're at a Christian school.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that just?
Yeah. Well, and by that time, you know, just for anybody's, you know, I was really learning extensively. I mean, that's when we started really looking at like what companies we invested in, who we had stocks with. Where we spent our money, you know, what did those organizations believe? And, you know, and when you look at like paying for college or university, it's like, you know, I'm not, I mean, yeah, she's got to get her degree and she graduated and all that stuff's great. But there comes a point too where, you know, we're going to raise our kids, to the best of our ability. And I'm unapologetic about that. And, I've seen too many people, who've worked their butts off as parents to send their kids off to a school. And people can say that, hey, they didn't prepare their kids very well if their kids went off the deep end or went a different direction or think differently. I mean, I want our kids to, you know, learn and express themselves how they see fit. But honestly, there's a part that, I mean, you know, brain development far more than I do. I mean, you should have been a doctor, but
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, you diagnosed yourself.
Yeah,
how many specialists we go to, but the point is the brain's still developing.
Well, and I think too, you know, you teach your kids to respect authority, right? And to listen to your teachers and you, even myself, I can say this, you grow up, you know, you need to, here are the sources you can use and here, this news site is correct. This isn't whatever. And so you send them off to college and you have your professors saying certain things and this prestigious university saying this or whatever. Of course they're going to believe that's it. And maybe my parents have lied to me or whatever. So I would think it's challenging and they're developing their identity, you know, in their early late teens, early 20s kind of thing. So it's hard.
Yeah. Well, and the reason why I talk about the whole doctor thing is because, you know, I don't know how many specialists we went to, south of here, Sacramento, Davis, Stanford, UCSF, all the different places we went trying to really get to the bottom of why you had a stroke. And then you diagnosed it. You
know? I didn't diagnose a stroke. I diagnosed the autoimmune, I feel like.
Okay, well,
we're tangenting.
Well, it wasn't a tangent, but it's my show, and
it is, that's true.
People can turn it off if they don't want to listen.
That's true.
I mean, I'm okay with that because for me, and people do a lot of people do research, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I completely agree. I think the days of just listening to the news or listening to an organization's, like, I'm not going to say the, you know, whatever
you
government organization says you should do this, I think a lot more people are pausing and say, you know what, I'm going to look more into that and not just trust. I'm air quoting the experts.
Well, the experts, a lot of them are, I mean, even just locally, we had, you know, we have somebody, I mean, every single, that's what I've learned is everybody has an agenda, which is fine. Just own it. Like,
I think that's a blanket statement. Well, I don't think everyone has an agenda.
But I mean, everybody has an opinion.
Everyone has an opinion.
Okay.
That's 100%.
Okay. So maybe the word's not agenda, but people have a strong opinion, but don't, you know, I mean, I can just tell people, like, I'm super conservative. You know, I want to whittle our taxes down to nothing if I could. I mean, I would. And, you know, there are essential services that we need to tax for, absolutely. But other than that, no, absolutely not. If you want something done really inefficiently, have the government do it. And I'm never not going to feel that way. So if people think that, you know, I'm not anti-government, I'm anti-bloated government, and I've got a strong opinion about that. And if people think I bully over that, well, I'm sorry, but I feel strongly. I don't know. I mean, you're smiling at me, so
I'm just listening.
No, but so let me ask you. So the kids now, like, how, what are you seeing? Because one thing I'll say, pre-COVID, I did a lot more with higher numbers of kids. Like with the live events, I was way more hands-on, and because of politics and being a supervisor, now I've pretty much had to work on the business, not in the business. So other than coaching our son's basketball team, I don't really have any direct day-to-day relationship building and sewing into kids. So what are you seeing with the kids now?
Well, I have to preface it that I teach PE, so I'm not in the classroom. So I would say classroom teachers probably have seen a lot more than I have in terms of the effects. I will say what we as PE teachers have noticed, we've talked about, is maybe just the interaction, social interactions with the kids, and then them speaking with adults. They seemed at first to have a harder time, you know, approaching adults, asking questions, being direct. And it seems like it's improved. I know classroom teachers have mentioned the level has gone down in terms of reading, you know, reading and writing. Their levels have, maybe where they should be freshman year, maybe that's not where the kids are coming in as much.
And that's not a slight to the junior high teachers.
No, not at all. I mean, we saw it in Cannon, our son, his handwriting.
Oh, his handwriting
is terrible. But when COVID happened, what was that? His third grade. And it went completely online for a while. And then even when they were back, it was mostly on the computer. So he didn't do a lot of writing.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't do cursive.
Oh, no.
I mean, kids.
I don't know that. I don't know if Kara can.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's gone.
But I don't know. But that doesn't have to do with COVID.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
But I do think, you know, attention span is a little bit different. But I think that might be smartphones, too. I taught pre-smartphones, and now, since them having them, it's definitely changed.
Yeah. So let me ask you. So let's jump back to some political stuff. And I'm still really interested. I mean, I still forget about you not voting in 16. No, I was just, but.
Oh, can we go back to our kids, though?
Yeah.
You asked how that affect.
I
said, you know, for the most part, they're not impacted. A couple weekends ago, Kara had her, Kylie, it was our grandson's first birthday.
Yeah.
So we had to go to the ninja gym to get chairs, and I brought Ken and Kara with me, and the people were protesting.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was a little nervous about that, but we had to go do it and get the chairs. And they were kind of shocked.
Yeah.
Our kids, not necessarily that there were people there, because I told them about it, and just some of the signs and some of the people there. I don't know say Kara's comment or
that's fine. But
yeah.
the one thing.
So there's that. You know, we've driven by the ninja gym. I have to pick Cannon up from training, or sometimes you pick him up from school and then you have him there. So I'll pick him up after school. He saw quite a few people out there a couple times. And so that did impact them a little bit.
Yeah. But, you know, but I think probably one of my proudest moments of being a parent after 22 years is, you know, him asking to print a picture out of me the other day, you know?
Yeah, that was devastating for me. So I said, Cannon, why do you want me to print a picture of Dad? And he said, Well, I wrote something about him. I said, is it because he's your hero? And he said, yes. And that just stabbed me in the heart because my, my daughters always wrote about me, or our daughters, I should say.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, and then he said, Mom, it's, I love you both the same. It's just different. It's just different.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, but that's, I think that's the, you know, we haven't even talked about it because he's so private. I just let that be something that he did. And I've just learned to just, you know, kind of let that go. But that was cool. But the thing about, you know, what I noticed, Cannon, the conversations we do have is, you know, we talk a lot about, and we always relate it to either, and this is a tribute to David's ability as a music teacher, but we always attribute it to, playing the guitar or music, or we relate it to basketball. And, you know, we talk a lot about if you really want something, you gotta work hard for it, and you gotta put everything into it, and you gotta, understand that you may not get what you want after all that effort, and you've got to be okay with that. And but that doesn't mean you only give 80 or 90%. So as he's trying to master Enter Sandman, David, I know I've had to tell him, I said, you will get this. I said, this isn't, you know, you may not play it on stage in front of 60,000 screaming fans, but you will master this song eventually. So he's working hard on that. And I think the lessons of Cannon, you know, knocking on doors with me, I think that's going to stick with him. You know, a couple times it's really hot and he was out of water and we just kept going.
Didn't he drop the flyers?
Yeah, sometimes? he tripped on some concrete and skinned his knee up and threw them all in the air. And so he's crying at the front door and I'm trying to talk to somebody, at, you know, and they, you know, made a joke with Cannon, and Cannon really didn't recover at that door. But, you know, I think that's what we have to do. We have to model stuff for our kids. And, you know, some of the people going back to the protesters, I mean, hey, if they feel like modeling that is the way that they want to show their kids on how to do something, more power to them. I just think, you know, we have to be, cordial as we do it. And, you know, I'm really thankful. I mean, I know parents, you know, parents can have a kid that goes, you know, sideways no matter how hard they try, and that happens. So I just feel really blessed and thankful our kids are healthy and they're, you know, doing as well as they are. And that's a big, you know, you deserve 95% of that credit.
No, I think God deserves.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah.
That's what my parents used to say about us.
Yeah, you know, no, that's
in spite of ourselves, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. But I mean, you even said it today. You said, you know, you love the fact that our daughters, you know, are better than you in different ways. And you know, you've modeled the best you can in different ways, and they've taken that. Like our daughter Kylie, and is a phenomenal mom. I mean, she's a phenomenal mom, and so are you. But when you compared her ability to, I don't know. I just think it's great. So my wife Sarah's given me the like.
Yeah.
Let's
like,
wrap up
okay,
this statement.
Kevin. So but, let me ask you, okay. What are some things you think about as in terms of a politician's wife? Like, what are things you worry about for me, or things that you think about before you ran? Did you think about anything? Or
yeah, you know, I think you know, you were a coach's wife before you, and I'm a coach's husband. So. But obviously my coaching was a lot more intensive in terms of time away than your coaching has been. So I knew you knew how to deal with some of that, but I didn't ever, you know, you've just been a complete team player. Like when I had to live in an apartment to start, you know, and I didn't hide that.
Yeah. So those are the times where I get the most, I don't know if offended's the word, where I would get upset when there'd be people accusing you of not living there or just different things. Those are the times when it impacts us as a family and we're making that sacrifice. Like we intentionally sat down, so this is going to cost us money. This is going to cost you nights away.
Yeah.
And we knew people would be paying attention.
Yeah.
So we had to follow it.
Well, but we would have done that anyway.
I know, but I'm just saying, so that really bothered me when they would say, oh.
He doesn't live there.
And you didn't pay for it. That bothered me too. Cause yeah. I thought, you know what? No, I could use that money.
Yeah, absolutely.
For something else. But yeah. We thought it was important enough. We sat down as a family and thought that was important enough. Same yeah. thing with moving once you won.
And I didn't,
well, before you won.
Well, I didn't hide it.
You moved to that apartment.
I didn't hide it because my opponent said I didn't live there. And
yeah.
It's like that. And I know that's when some stuff changed for you, was you were super offended when, We had to do an interview with Mike Mangus at the apartment on Hilltop because right. I stayed there 4 or 5 nights a week.
Yep.
I mean, I went in and asked Kathy Darling, like, hey, what's the, you know, you have to live there, you know, 50.01% of the time or whatever it was. And the way it averaged out basically 4 nights a week. And then 1 week I did 5.
Yeah.
And, the kids would have sleepovers. And the kids would have sleepovers. Mm-hmm. I think you slept in the apartment with me one time.
My only gripe there, the Wi-Fi wasn't very good.
Wi-Fi was terrible. Yeah. but then after the primary in June, you said, "I'm done. I can't do this anymore. We've gotta move in together."
Right.
And the
obvious. I mean.
Well, yeah. But you said we gotta be back as a family. We can't do this another right. 4 or 5 months. So I said, okay, so we found, the place, the townhouse over, off Congaree.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved there and then we rented our house. And, you know, we had just got done like, you know, a year and a half before doing that big remodel during COVID.
Yeah.
So we finally, you know, got the house put together and then we're renting it, you know, and I rented it, to employees, all the ninja crew guys to start with. And, when people, you know, want to throw stones and talk about, you know, that we're doing it for the money, or it was like this whole grift kind of thing. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Like,
I never understood that. Where's this money that we're, I mean, no, or well, where's this fame? What is the, I don't, this was a sacrifice we chose.
It's still a sacrifice.
It's still a sacrifice. Yeah. We think it's valuable. Sometimes I'm like, is it worth it? But I think when I pull away and look big picture, yes.
It's like today. Like today, I went to a constituent's house. I found out that she has terminal cancer, and she put my signs out throughout my primary, the general election, and then during the failed recall, she had signs on Lake Boulevard, and I just got a text today. That she's terminally, she decided not to get treatment, and I guess she's been bedridden since Wednesday. So I went there and cars were just coming in and Sarah waited in the car and she could hear us because obviously she's on morphine and sleeping, but, you know, she knew, I believe she knew we were there. And there was many of us, like 4, 5, 6 people in about the 45 minutes I was there. But that's when it all, like when I actually went into her house, I'd never been in her house. I'd been in her front yard a bunch of times. And when you look on, you know, all the Bible verses, all the things, she had one big sticker that said, "Keep on Trumpin'," which I thought was really funny. But she, I believe she's probably in her, I'm going to say mid to late 70s. I don't think she's 80, but maybe. But that's where it feels all worth it because she was really, really, very positive. And I'd actually, if I saw her out front tending to her flowers or she has a garden in her front yard. And, I stopped probably about 6 months ago and just talked to her for like 10, 15 minutes. And I know she wasn't diagnosed at that point because she didn't say anything and she looked great. But that's what I really realize is like, that's what it's really about is carrying people like her, and what they want for the community. And she's been here a really long time. And, so that's where it becomes worth it, but it also puts it into perspective.
Oh, 100% perspective. But also, like you said, the people, there's been people who pray for us, who encourage us, but a lot of people are like me who say something has to be done.
Yeah.
And, they're grateful that you're doing it. So I think that's definitely made it worth it. All the different people that we've met, who've encouraged us, who've supported you, just who felt kind of similar to how we felt, you know,
yeah.
This is a conservative county. Why are some of the choices not feeling like it's a conservative choice?
Yeah, and it's not, and when we talk about conservative versus liberal, it's not about Republican and Democrat.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, and that has become so polarizing. And I get the brunt here politically of all the elected officials in the county, whether they're city, county, you know, even state or whatever, or federal. I mean, it's really just for me. And I don't know if it's just my personality or maybe things I've said.
I think it's both. I think you've had some tough choices you've had to make or some tough decisions.
Yeah.
But I think it's your personality too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just honest.
Well,
and I think you speak your mind, and I think sometimes you could do it a little bit better. But I think sometimes you're just speaking your mind. You're not, and they'll say he's being a bully or whatever. I think, no, he wasn't. He just said exactly how he felt.
And you don't agree with it.
No, and that's okay. And I think sometimes that's lost. People take offense when you disagree with somebody.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish we could go back to no social media. I think people got along a lot better. They didn't know what political party you affiliated with necessarily because you didn't post it on Facebook or,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I've had.
Because there's so many great people who definitely I don't agree with politically.
Yeah.
And we used to get along a lot better. So yeah. I kind of miss that. But.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple players that their parents, have either liked a post or have posted something or even have glared at me, and I'll call the player and say, hey, I saw your parent at such and such. They said, oh yeah, they said, and they'll say, yeah, they're big, big, big Harris fans, or they're big, big, like hate Trump. And I'm like, oh, I get that. 'Cause my dad doesn't like Trump at all.
Right.
So I understand that, but I'm like, man, that's unfortunate because, and they're like, oh yeah, well don't, they go, well, I don't like Trump either, but I love you. And so they're right. Just like, I don't let that get in the way. And so I appreciate that when I've had those conversations, but I don't know where else to go with that because there's just a lot of people that, you know, they just kick and scream and moan when they don't get their way. And maybe that's why I've been self-employed pretty much my entire life is because I just, like, I think I'm unemployable at times. I am. I
would say you're built different. That's for sure. You're built different, but it's a certain type of person to do what you're doing right now. I mean, I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure other people who've done it before, maybe some people who were in during the COVID times who were in office and now out, they'd probably say, yeah, I could never do that again if it stayed that way, right?
Well,
I don't think it's always been this way.
Well, and I think for me, what I've learned, because I've been there 2.5 years and now I know where the bodies are buried and I know the skeletons in the closet and I know the decisions that were made and why they were made, and it just makes me viscerally ill because I just feel like that's not how it's supposed to be. It's not how it's supposed to be. You know, people are supposed to, I'll just say this, and I appreciate what you said about there's tough decisions, but they're really, you know, they're decisions that we make and then we move on. I mean, I make 100 decisions with my companies, with the family. I mean, we all make them. All of us make them. The difference is mine are just scrutinized, and that's okay. That's part of the job, and I'm not complaining about it because I feel blessed and honored to even be here and getting to do the things we're doing. So, What's one last thing, because we've got a couple minutes left. What's one thing you would want people to know about yourself, about the last 4 years, about anything in general that you would like to share? Is there anything in particular?
Anything they'd want to know about me?
Or anything, yeah.
I mean, when you say something like that, I feel like I need to share the gospel probably in this last moment. But I would say that can I just say something about you?
Say whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean – there are times where I think, oh, Kevin, you shouldn't have said that or whatever. But what I'll say about you, and I really appreciate this, is you will admit when you're wrong and you will change it. And you will take criticism and you'll listen to it. A lot of people just avoid it and not listen to it. So I appreciate that about you. I would just avoid it, to be honest with you. I wouldn't look online. I wouldn't go to your coffees. But you're willing to reach out to people. Maybe who've attacked you in the past.
Yeah.
And move on. And that's hard. That's really hard.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I'm perfectly imperfect. I mean, I know that, I am really fortunate. I mean, when I look back, I remember what I said on our very first date about what I was, you know, about Cannon.
Oh yeah, you told me you were going to have a son someday. His name's Cannon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, you know, here's our first date and I said, "Hey, I'm going to have a son someday named Cannon." And then we have two girls. And then maybe if I ever bring you back on, we talk about that and then having Cannon. But the one thing is I'm really fortunate, and and I'm going to tell you, and a lot of times I talk about you on air, but then you listen to it, maybe or maybe you don't, but I'm really thankful for you. Like all the anything good that's happened in my life has been because you've been by my side. And there's no way around that. And I'm sorry that you've had to go through a lot of the stuff you've gone through, but at the same time, I know that you've done the same thing for our family and for others, and you just, nobody knows. You know, I know the sacrifices you've made, and I'm just super thankful.
Thank you. It doesn't mean I'm going to go to more political things.
I know you're not going to more political things. Yeah, I think everybody does know that. I make you come to a couple a year just so people know that we're still happily married.
Yes, we're still married. Yes, we still have the speech. Hey, you can't leave me. You need to stand by my side while we're at this event, please. Yeah,
that's right. Well, thanks for listening. This hour has flown by. Have a great Sunday and enjoy.